This is Talk Star Wars,
the official podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Welcome back to Talk Star Wars. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
It's a trap.
And I'm Rob.
And it is not exactly a trap. It's been a couple of weeks since we last recorded, so thanks for your patience waiting for us to return from our lazy Easter break. How are you doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Yeah, I'm good. I told you, they'll learn patience. And sure enough, they have.
Indeed. I'm sure most of them couldn't give a monkey's, but...
Oh, well, that's not true. I've spoken to plenty of people who are excited about the podcast, so
yeah.
Don't worry about that.
We've got some nice feedback to get into, but...
Oh, lovely.
We need to just get over this nasty piece of news off the bat. Very sad news.
Out of respect.
Yes, in memoriam for voice actor Eric Bousfeld, who was best known for Admiral Ackbar. But Rob, you said he had another role.
He did, yeah. He played Bib Fortuna in Return of the Jedi as well.
Right, so he had that immortal line, which I can't say because this is a family show.
This is the Before Dark Side, yeah.
Is that the one? Is that the guy I'm thinking of?
No.
Did Jabba know about her?
Oh, yes. Yeah. The guy. Yeah.
Jabba's Major Domo.
Who's the guy I just did an impression of?
Which one? Yeah.
That's a really good... That's Lando's co-pilot. That's a really good impression, Steve.
Fine Beckons.
That's where it came from. Fine Beckons. That just came out of me like it was... hidden away for years.
Right. Let's not derail the memoriam for this wonderful actor. So Eric Bousfeld was obviously at least Admiral Ackbar and what did you say the other character's name was? Sorry,
Bib Fortuna.
And he passed away sadly at 93.
He had a heck of a run.
That is a big bucket of win.
Yeah, I think he was a fairly prolific voice actor in other respects as well. That's my understanding of it. But obviously, we know him best for his immortal performance as Admiral Ackbar in Return of the Jedi, and obviously a brief few lines in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Did he play? Was it him that played it in Force Awakens, or was he too ill?
That was my understanding. I'll double check that actually because I'm not sure. Now.
Yeah, that big on IMDb, I would have thought.
Well, yeah, I would have thought so.
That he got the chance to. And he was healthy enough to do it. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the gent that actually was Admiral Ackbar in the suit and wearing the Martin puppeteering was Tim Rose, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And then obviously this gentleman came along and did the ADR. And I'd imagine that's the same for Bib Fortuna.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Certainly, I mean, he's would have been, what, in his 60s by the time Jedi was being filmed? So
yeah,
I find it hard to believe he would have been inside that makeup. Let's have a look. Admiral Ackbar.
No, 60 is not.
Yeah, it was him.
It was him, yeah.
It was him. And Tim Rose in the suit as well.
Fantastic.
So it was a very much a return to the kind of the classics.
Mm. Well, it's nice
and,
that they...
And Tim Rose was in the suit in 7 as well.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, wow. He came back. Yeah, so.
And how old is he? How old is Tim Rose?
Tim Rose is...
He must be in his 60s.
I would have thought so. Let's have a look. He's... 56, so he's 60 this year.
Wow.
In a few months.
See, I always thought, I know it wasn't true because it was obvious when you think of it, but I always thought Admiral Ackbar died in Jedi because it's not his ship that blows up.
No. Isn't he looking at it?
Yeah, and because when I was young, I always remembered it that the screen went bright and I thought it was a picture of him blowing up inside the.
Right.
Wasn't it? It was the ship next door, wasn't it? The nice looking one with the little. Chunky bits and all the roundy bits.
Yeah, just imagine. Is home one, I think.
Yeah, sounds
is that
right.
Home one.
That's home one. That's what we were trading emails about today.
Yeah. Oh,
I think that's right. Yeah. What I found is what's called with Admiral Ackbar. You just imagine like if editing wasn't as strong as it was in Jedi, and it looked like he'd actually blown up on the ship, and then you saw him looking on a different ship a minute later, you go, hang on a minute, did he have the Force all along?
Yeah,
exactly. Fish Force.
Apprentice Ackbar.
Eric Bousfeld, sir, you will be missed.
Yes, indeed.
Rest your soul.
Okay, we've had some listener feedback this week, which I found really, really encouraging. Couldn't have come at a better time, to be honest.
I felt the same, actually, yeah.
Lots of really kind comments that came hot off of a couple of really poxy comments that I'd gotten on another platform. But
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to waste any time on those.
That's fine.
Um, So I wanted to give a couple of people a shout out here. So a gent named Connor sent me a message on Twitter, like a private message. His name on Twitter, his handle is @BaldyWookie, which I think is a fantastic Twitter handle. And he's written to us saying, my son and I listen to the podcast and like what we hear. I have some questions, but I'll send those in an email. Keep up the good work. This is the podcast I was looking for.
That's brilliant.
Which just really brightened my day to think that we're doing something that somebody can enjoy with their son.
Yeah, exactly.
And pass this whole Star Wars thing down a generation.
Yeah, hopefully not the After Dark Side podcast so much with the son, but...
yeah, let's hope not.
Save that for when he goes to bed.
I've made that quite clear.
Baldy Wookie might be 60. You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
I just found him on Twitter, actually, and he's not. He doesn't look 60. If he's 60, he looks fantastic for his age. I'll say that.
We want your cream. Oh, no.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Edit. Yeah.
Having said that, he's definitely not 60. I will say that. But his son, there's a picture of him with his son. It looks like they're off to see Batman Superman. Otherwise, they've worn very odd T-shirts for the occasion. And he does look like, he probably could watch the After Dark Side podcast and not go on a rampage. That's good to know.
Yeah, we had another message as well. Just trying to call the message up now. It's from a guy named Hit10 on Twitter, @Hit10Tweets. And he just came through to say, catching up on your pods, only just listened to number 10, which was episode title New Year, New You.
Oh, yeah.
Just wanted to say, really enjoyable, and thank you.
Nice.
This stuff is superb.
There are so many nice people.
So many. I mean, this internet is largely very, very dark, but that was really positive.
It can be. Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if he's going to go... I tell you what, though, after number, 13, it just goes downhill. I can't put my finger on why. It's about the time you get that new host.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We had some. Yes, it's all gone downhill.
I think we'd do well not to take a saw to the branch we're sitting on there, Rob.
I think we should create a brand new internet called InterNice, where only nice people go.
So that's how the internet started, Steve. It never ends that way.
But I know.
I insist that we only ever put positive comments on this. Podcast.
That's cool. Yeah, that's fine. I'm of the same mindset as we talked about before.
I'll take heed of the negative ones, but I think it's let's celebrate the positive ones.
Yeah.
So we had another message from somebody who wanted us to discuss something specific on the podcast.
Okay.
I don't think this will be a very long conversation, but a young man named Trent and William Peer asked if we could discuss Maul versus Vader. Now, when I got his message, I thought, this must have something to do with the Rebels finale, because the season 2 Rebels finale was coming up.
Okay.
And I knew it was going to be a two-parter. It was like an hour's worth of show.
Yeah.
And Maul made a return in that as a much older character. He's called himself Old Master. And I thought this must mean that these two characters are going to clash, that Maul and Vader are finally going to clash on screen.
Okay.
They didn't. Spoiler alert. but I thought it'd be interesting just to sort of... These two characters never crossed paths, right? Anakin, basically Anakin and Maul hadn't crossed paths since Anakin was a little boy in episode 1. So,
which is not really a balanced fight, is it?
What would happen, do you think? What's your take on a Maul versus Vader confrontation?
Mm. Well, what Vader as in the Vader in like 4, 5, and 6 would have been eaten alive by Darth Maul, wouldn't he?
Do you think? That's interesting.
Well, he's flying all over the shop, isn't he? And Vader's a bit slow. I know that was the way those films were done with the choreography, but I don't know. I mean, Anakin was fast, wasn't he? I guess he probably would have been a good match. But Vader in his clunky big costume, he would have chopped him into loads of little bits.
Right. Mm-hmm. What about you, Rob?
Well, I think it depends very heavily on when they fight. Because I think for the first kind of I don't know how long it takes to adjust. Now, contrary to popular belief, I have never been so badly damaged that I've had to exist inside a big black suit. I never have. And I want to set the record straight in the public forum. But I would imagine there's some accustomed...
Apart from the gimp suit.
Apart from that, yeah. What I do with my free time is my own damn business.
as he quietly puts the ball gag back in the
he's
top
like
drawer.
This. He's like this. It's a cat.
It's a cat. Is it a cat? Okay. I wonder what was running around up there.
It's a gag.
Rob, are you suggesting it depends on where in Darth Vader's adjustment to becoming Darth Vader this would take place?
Yes. Yeah, I think that it would be very heavily influenced by how he would have to adjust to being inside the suit, because obviously he's going to get used to all the different things that are, that used to be controlled by real limbs that are, you know, controlled by prosthetics and stuff now. So he's going to have to get accustomed to that. So immediately after his donning the armor, Maul. But realistically, later on, I think I'd give it to Vader.
Really?
I think he's, you know, he's... There's a reason the Emperor wanted to kind of cast aside all the other apprentices and make the play the long game for Anakin. And I think it's because he knows that that's probably the most powerful Force user who'd lived at that point.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, if you're talking Force, because that's one thing I was talking pure skills with a saber, but if you're talking Force, then, yeah, Vader.
Yeah.
I would say there's something in between there, because I come down on the other side of things. When I first started considering this, I thought Maul wouldn't stand a chance, because Vader's been able to, like you just threw the name out there, Rob. He managed to take Dooku out.
Yeah.
I think he would have given the Emperor a run for his money, to be fair.
I think so.
He went up against Mace Windu, really got the better of Mace Windu. It's only Obi-Wan that's really able to stop him.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, Obi-Wan also took out Maul. I know that's sort of a playground sort of mentality to say, well, he beat him so he can beat him. But I would suggest that Vader, because he is his virgin sin of Force, even though he'd lost a lot of his... I mean, George Lucas's take on it is that the Force is a cellular thing, isn't it? So he'd lost a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
So his ability in the Force, if you use George's rationale, would have been greatly diminished, because there was a lot less cells in Anakin's body when he became Vader.
That's very true. I hadn't thought of that.
I still think he would whoop him.
You think Vader
would whoop Maul.
Okay.
The only time they've ever met in history, to my knowledge, is in a Dark Horse comic book.
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
And it was a Legends thing. It was an Otherworlds thing, isn't it? It's not
No, it was. No, I think it was at the time. I think it was considered...
Canon,
but I'm not sure if it still is.
Right.
Well, it definitely wouldn't be, would it?
Definitely not now, no.
No. The only comic that's canon for Maul, I think, is Son of Dathomir, is canon.
Yeah, but this appearance in Rebels...
Yeah, of course, that's canon as
just
as well, yeah.
Capped off Maul's canon... So there's a gap now between whenever that the Son of Dathomir story is set, if that's set after Clone Wars, and what we've just seen in Rebels, there's a gap, maybe 2 decades. So they can still use the character if they wanted to go back and pull another story out of the hat.
Yeah.
But for the time being, I think his story's done. And without spoiling the end of Rebels, he doesn't cross paths with Vader. They're very close. But they don't cross paths. So I think Trenton's question was, the conversation he suggested is absolutely superb. And I would like to see something done with it. But right now, there's nothing. But I come down firmly on Vader's side there.
Yeah,
I don't think we've spoken about this. Or maybe we did, and it's so long ago, I can't remember. I think now I mention it, I think we have. But everyone saw the film with the short film.
Yes.
Did we speak about that?
Darth Maul Apprentice.
I feel like we did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's all right then. That was a redundant point. But I was going to say, if he was as good as in that as he when he was fighting Vader, although, you know, it's not official, but...
Yeah.
Be another story, I think.
Mm.
He was amazeballs in that.
He was.
He was
super.
This is true.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Cool.
Yeah, well, thank you for your question.
Yeah, thanks for all your input, guys. It's really greatly appreciated, and keep it coming. And just this week, I've started sending out tweets suggesting to people that they send us voice memos and MP3s if they want to get their opinions about something, or they want to ask one of these questions and stimulate a conversation, not just with us, but with other listeners. send us the MP3s and we can play them on the show. We'll cut them into the show so they can be a part of the podcast. I think that'd be a really interesting thing to do. People can record voicemails on their phones and email them straight to us.
Oh, yeah, really easily done.
So if you want to do that, send it to talkstarwarsinfo@gmail.com and we'll stick it on the show. The links will be everywhere. So
yeah,
we've got a couple of other comments, but I think we'll do that once we get into our main topic of conversation.
Yes.
After I've had a little wine, because these show notes I put together so lovingly and so carefully that I laboured over and gave to you guys a couple of days ahead of the recording so that you could do your research with all these links that I've very carefully placed in.
Yeah, all redundant.
Are all redundant now because the Rogue One trailer finally hit.
Yep.
Yay.
After all us saying it was too, you know, we were starting to worry it'd be too late, and sure enough, somebody obviously at Disney was starting to think the same thing.
Yeah, but didn't they deliver?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they deliver? 5:30 this morning, I woke up and checked my phone because I needed to see what the time was, and I saw an alert from YouTube saying Star Wars had just uploaded the teaser.
Yeah.
So I got up. I thought, I'll get up and I'll have a watch of it so I don't disturb Lisa. So I thought, I'll come down. Maybe I'll record a reaction video of me watching the trailer.
Because
I thought, you know, I've not seen this. For once, I'll record myself watching one of these trailers for the first time and put it on YouTube.
Okay.
So I came downstairs, made a cup of coffee, creeping around the house because it's really, really quiet. And it's an 11-second teaser, which is essentially just one shot.
I would have loved to see that reaction video.
Yeah, it wasn't a nice one.
And it's just 11 seconds and then what?
What the? Seriously?
What, the teaser for the teaser?
The teaser for the teaser. I really wasn't very happy about that. But it's nice that we only had to wait till lunchtime, didn't we, UK time, to see it properly. So
I'm going to be a little bit, I'm going to be honest here, and I'm going to sound a little bit of a heathen. When I first watched the trailer, I wasn't that impressed.
Really?
I've watched it twice more since then, and I'm starting to warm to it more. But the first time I watched it, I was like, okay, that's cool. And that was my reaction. Whereas, you know, Force Awakens, I was like, oh my God, look at that, and all that stuff, and oh wow. And didn't do it for me. Didn't have that first viewing impact.
No. Well, it's not as sort of...
There's not as much iconic stuff, is there? No.
Although, I mean, the Star Destroyer looks amazing.
I think every shot was loaded with...
Yeah, I really liked
There's plenty of stuff in there, don't get me wrong. I mean, but it's not got those kind of, you know, Han and Chewie onto the Falcon, things like that.
I still think there's plenty in there. I mean, how's this sound for structure for this conversation, right? We'll go around now. We'll have initial reactions from us.
Yep.
And then we've had a couple of tweets from other podcasters that I want to throw out there as well. So we'll do our initial reactions, then we'll do comments from the other podcasters, which we've got on Twitter. And then we can talk about the trailer. And we've got some images as well. I think what I'll do is I'll put the link to the images, because they're in a Dropbox. I'll put them in the podcast notes so people can have a look and flick through as we're discussing them. And we'll use them just to map out our conversation so we can stay within the framework of the trailer, because they run sequentially.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah.
That sound good? So, Rob, we kind of heard really what your first take was on it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what was your...
Well, I really liked it. I'll tell you what I liked about it. There are a couple of dislikes, but nothing essentially to do with the trailer or the film. I'll go through those. I loved the way it seemed to be 3.5. Like, to me, or not 3.5. It seemed just between the time period was right. All the sets were brilliant. The way it looked like it could have been preceding episode 4.
Yes.
The Star Destroyer was amazing. They've upped that, as in it looks huge. And the one in Star Wars, you know, the original Star Destroyers were great.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
You know, they were models, essentially, and... This looks like a huge structure flying through space, and the Death Star scene. Mon Mothma, amazing. Could be the original. That's the kind of stuff you need when you're trying to slot things in. You need need it to be correct.
Totally.
And I didn't like, and I know Mark and I spoke about this, I do not like the marketing at all with this film. We've spoken about it at length, and I... A Star Wars story? No, it's Star Wars. It's not a story. It's kind of Star Wars. That's not going to sell seats.
Mm.
Like, I would rather them say episode 3.5.
Okay. So how would you do Star Wars Rogue One?
I would say Star Wars Rogue One. I wouldn't. Okay. And, you know, I know the Roman numerals bit is a kind of, you know,
if you don't include a Roman numeral, then it doesn't have to slot in, does it?
Well, originally they didn't have Roman numerals, did they? It was only
in the intro crawls they did.
What, even in 1978?
Yeah.
I think 77 was, it just said Star Wars.
Yeah. And I said the New Hope, I promise you.
Did they? Oh, yeah. Contention.
Ooh, we're gonna have to do some research into that.
We will.
Doing it now.
But I don't like the way them. This to me, it's almost.
I think that means Rob might have been right.
Hang on, let me just check to make sure I've got the right. I just want to make sure I've got it, the actual one, as opposed to like a fan-made creation or something.
It was added in afterwards, the Roman numerals, because he then thought, oh, let's set this up for prequels.
I think A New Hope was definitely added in 78 when it was re-released.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard.
For the first anniversary.
There's no way I can do this.
This whole thing to me, the problem I've got with it is making me think that it's not Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what it was initially supposed to be called, Steve?
Yeah.
It was going to be called Star Wars Rogue One Anthology.
Oh.
And they were gonna release a series of films that were gonna fall under this anthology heading.
Oh, what?
So you would add Star Wars above the title, and then you'd have like your episode title, so Rogue One or Han Solo or Boba Fett, or Obi-Wan. If we get to the show notes later, we'll talk a bit more about that. And then underneath it would say,
I have to
print a retraction.
Slight retraction. So it was added in. In 81.
Oh, was it 81?
Yes, it was added in less recently. Yeah, it was added in less recently than maybe first thought, but it was added in because originally it was just called Star Wars. Yes. So I will correct myself there. I was convinced it was the case. I am incorrect.
Oh, never mind. We won't add that.
Only because Mark and I are old.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately, I'm quite happy to admit when I'm wrong.
No.
Even if I was utterly convinced.
We don't deal in absolutes here, Rob.
That's true.
So that kind of, I think they should make it like in for a penny, in for a pound, make this bloody Star Wars.
Yeah.
Stop farting around, beating around the bush. It's either, because they're going to lose punters over this, I swear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope not. I mean, they seem to really have lent into it now, but to my mind, they don't even have to worry about the anthology thing, which I kind of liked, but it should be Star Wars Rogue One. That's all it needs to be, isn't it?
Yeah. And if people make the mistake and not researching it and going to the cinema expecting episode 8, well, with the greatest respect, more fool them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone and his wife is going to know that this is not episode 8 because it's going to be on every chat show. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be huge.
You know something they could do? They could, when they release Rogue One, they could say comes with or packaged with a teaser for episode 8.
Yeah, they could do
so
that.
So when they start to really announce the booking of the tickets and things like that, so you see the first footage for episode 8 with Star Wars Rogue One, and then people will start to work out that, oh, we're not going to see what happens to Rey yet, because
it doesn't sound like you're not losing yourself in the title when it's outside of the universe, if you know what I mean. Yeah. When you're calling Star Wars The Force Awakens, right, that's nothing to do with syntax or grammar. This is like Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're taking me out of the Star Wars universe before we've even started.
Yeah. Right. Star Wars Rogue One just works, doesn't it?
I think it could work. I think it would be an easy one and an easy sell. Ultimately, it's an easy sell regardless, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. The only other thing that slightly annoyed me, and it's a real... I don't know... This is my problem that I had with The Force Awakens, is that they are bringing a lot of Earth into these films. I know. Right. I'll explain what I mean. There's a lot of humanity, I should say, and our nuances and sort of idiosyncrasies. And they said aggravated assault. I'm sorry. That happens in central London, not in a galaxy far, far away.
I know what you mean, because I used to dislike that about the Legends. In the Heir to the Empire, which is the Thrawn trilogy, the really good one that I keep mentioning and singing its praises because I love those books. One thing I don't particularly like about those books is that Luke is making a thing that Lando showed him how to make called hot chocolate. No, come on. No, that's not here. That's not from here. In every other book, there's like, oh, spiced Caribbean bibbly beans or something like that. But it's just hot chocolate. And then later on, he goes, oh, and I've just put a bit of mint in it. I'm like, oh, come on.
They might as well have said, oh, you've got an Asbo. It just really annoys me. And the same thing happened. Now, this is not...
brought to you by Horlicks.
This annoyed me when he was in... I'm not saying there shouldn't be Scottish people in the films, by the way.
Right. But
tell that to Kanji Club.
The scene in Force Awakens, that didn't work for me when there was the Kanji Club and the Scottish Club down the other end. It just didn't seem...
Wraith Rovers.
Club Jock.
It didn't feel like Star Wars to me, that bit.
Okay.
You could have a Scottish person, and it just, that particular bit didn't work. And there were a few bits like that.
Okay.
Taken out of the universe.
Yeah.
And they've done it in the trailer. Don't call it aggravated assault. Call it you attack someone or
you attack someone. Yeah. Don't have to name it. Give it a kind of noun.
It immediately takes you out of what you're watching, and it really, really bugged me.
Yeah, because you end up with like people going, oh, aggravated assault. I can relate to that in the human world. No, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't need to.
Absolutely.
You don't need to. Yeah, I do get where you're coming from with that one. Like I say, it's one of those little things that's bugged me in the Legends canon before.
Maybe they'll listen to this podcast and go, can we edit that out? Because actually, that's Steven's.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I mean, we've had lines.
Give him a part.
Yeah, we've had lines in those trailers before that weren't in films. Because, I mean, Luke's entire dialogue in the second teaser wasn't in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've done it before.
True. So we need to start. That's our next big thing. We need to
our next big campaign.
Keep it far away.
Until we lose interest and motivation.
Yeah, well, I think maybe we should wait till after the EU referendum before we start banding around hashtags like that, Steve.
Yeah.
And there's no way they could have like beamed into one of our radio waves and heard it from Earth, because it happened a long, long time ago.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah. You
know, unless we nicked it from them.
And they go, where'd you hear that word? Oh, the archers.
Was there anything else that bugged you about it, Steve?
No, I loved it. I apart from that, I thought it looked so, what's the word? It looked so embedded.
Authentic?
Authentic, thank you.
Yeah, it's all right.
It really worked. Even the bits when they were running down the corridors, it looked just like the Star Wars sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It did look really good. And I must admit, I'll tell you why I'm going to like watching this the first time more than I liked watching The Force Awakens the first time, because I'm not expecting much from this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be like, wow, I know I am.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to let it settle in and not get stupid about it.
Well, there can be nothing missing from this film, can there? Like,
no one's going to die.
Leia and Luke
I think that's the opposite. I think everybody's
going
to die.
No, I think they are, but no one I care about.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
When
we go through some of the images, I'll point out a couple of things that I've seen in there that I think support some of the theories that we've thrown around.
Oh, okay.
On this show.
I was looking for stuff like that when that's why I watched it three times.
Yeah.
The last thing, because you guys have got to do your bits. Now, there was one scene, which is picture three in your Dropbox, actually, mm-hmm. which has the stone. Now, that reminds me of the place
at
the end of episode four.
That is there, I think.
Yeah, four, yeah. It looks like it could be.
Yeah.
I got that impression. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the only other place we've ever heard that they had a base is Dantooine.
Mm-hmm.
And in episode four, they say that nobody's been there for some time.
Yeah.
So they probably strikes me that is Yavin 4, and they've been there for some, you know, a few months maybe, or a year, just kind of setting themselves up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like an ancient structure.
Yeah, I think so.
You can look at where they're pulling the X-Wing into the hold through that.
Yes. I've just remembered something that did, the little thing that did bug me from the trailers, but we'll cover it when we get to the, because we've actually got pictures of some of it. So
yeah, okay, that's cool.
I'll briefly touch on it when we come past it.
All right. Well, I loved this thing from the first frame. I was completely and utterly sold, and I watched it immediately again straight after.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that maybe I didn't take in everything the first time, because I was just looking at it thinking, it's fantastic.
This is what I was doing too, is that, you know, but like I say, mine was partly because I wasn't kind of blown away by it straight away, and I thought, well, maybe I just didn't come into it in the right frame of mind, because I've had a rough week, I'm knackered, you know, maybe I was just being a bit cynical and stuff.
I've had those.
Yeah, I've been on a bit of a, you know, not a downer as such, but I've been a little bit kind of deflated because I'm tired and stuff. So I thought maybe I'd give it another go once I got home and had a chance to kind of sit down and have a drink and stuff and just unwind a bit. And sure enough, I enjoyed it a lot more the second time around.
Yeah.
So there's obviously something to that.
Well, I watched it a couple of times when we got home and I played it for Lisa because she hadn't seen it all day, mm-hmm. even though she'd been tweeting it out for us today.
Yeah.
And she loved it. And then we watched it a second time, but we had to pause it before it started so I could just explain to her a few bits about who these characters were.
Okay.
And where this is in the timeline.
Yeah.
She's clearly not penetrating the casual audiences yet. Of what this film is and where it is in canon.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not landing yet. But I think that a lot of this, certainly in the next trailer, I would imagine there'll be a major extra character to land exactly where this is in time.
Okay.
But for now, it's the Star Destroyers and the Death Star that place this within the universe that we're familiar with, but... I just wanted to be... Rob, did you have anything else you wanted to say about your initial reactions to this?
No, I mean, I've pretty much covered it. It was kind of initial, that was cool. But I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's a certain level of excitement that comes with anything Star Wars related. There's a sort of a baseline. And then it just kind of hit that. And then I gave it another go and found it a lot more enjoyable. And especially when I started going out of my way to look for stuff that might be cool. And we've actually got a few pictures of stuff I spotted, which are quite exciting. Yeah.
This will be interesting. So let me just cover a couple of comments that we've had from other podcasters, and then we can get into our sort of image-by-image breakdown of it, and we can kick a few ideas around. But I just had a tweet earlier on from Tumbling Sabre, which is a podcast you put me on to, Rob, I think.
Yeah, I think they're really... I enjoy them a lot.
Fantastic guys. I enjoyed their... they had a conversation with Anna Maria, didn't they, recently?
Yes, they did, yeah. Really good.
Well, they sent a tweet out saying... it's phenomenal in every way, but I want to know where all these cool-looking stormtroopers are in the original trilogy.
It's a great question.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
I just think we've kind of touched on this previously when we were talking about the designs that we'd seen, because Donnie Yen had put out three designs for separate stormtrooper headgear, I'll say, so that Steve doesn't have to laugh. I think we mentioned then that they're probably... Is technology developed for a specific environment or for a specific task?
Yes.
So it's almost like having the right camouflage. You wouldn't wear blue camouflage in the forest, and you wouldn't wear green camouflage if you were in the desert.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that what we've seen so far are the uniforms that are essential for the environments that we've seen them in. So we've seen the regular stormtroopers, the snowtroopers, the scout bike rider and things like that.
Yep.
And even though I understand what he's saying, you know, this new technology that we're seeing that was around at the time of the original trilogy, it's we've never seen it cross the
screens.
We've
never seen it in context.
And one of the examples of that would be the double Y-wing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The double Y-wing or the double...
Shuttle.
The double shuttle. Yeah. It's not Y-wing, is it? No, that's a...
We've got a picture of that, I think.
We've just never seen these things. I think you're right. I think we've just never seen these things in their proper context.
Yeah, because we've never been in the environment where they would be used.
Exactly.
That's like the in-universe thing, but, you know, practically, for a real-world thing, they want to give us something new, don't they?
Well, you see, the thing is, if they made it just the originals, would it be too, samey in this?
Yeah.
So they have to go a little bit off-piste.
Yeah.
There are, like, you've got the Red Emperor ones in there, which are authentic, aren't they?
That is the moment. I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll hold fire on that then. Yeah. I mean, there's the thing that's going to tie this film together for me, I think, is going to be Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because you see her, don't you, in one of the pictures inside that thing that he sits in. I don't know what that is. The slatted thing where
I'm not sure about
no,
that.
I don't think that is.
I think that's something else, but we'll talk about that when we get to that image, because I think there's more going on there, Steve.
There's more to it, definitely.
Okay.
But let's just thank Tumbling Sabre for the comment, because that's a great point.
Yes.
And I really appreciate their input. So follow at Tumbling Sabre on Twitter and subscribe to their podcast, because you're missing a treat if you're not already.
Yeah, you can find them on the iTunes. I know this because I subscribe via that. They're on the Libsyn. A guy called Kyle runs the show. So, hello, Kyle, if you're listening. Kyle. And I think it's James. I feel bad for not knowing the other guy's name. But
just been listening to them talk about the times they've spent trying. He was talking on the recent podcast about trying to get a Hera figure in Toys R Us from a guy described as coming from his mum's basement, which... I was laughing, but perhaps I shouldn't because I'm not a million miles away from that very person myself. the other comment that we got as well was from the Whatnauts, who I also listened to. I listened to their podcast, and these guys are great. And they just... I was listening to their show last weekend where they spoke about the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And are they really worth the time?
I mean, obviously, we know what my feeling is.
Yeah.
Been through that one.
Yeah, I try to. It depends what mood I'm in as to whether or not I want to burn them at the stake. But today, I'm feeling a little bit more generous. But
all right, that's good. So you're more into my kind of way of thinking, aren't you?
Yeah. I was very entertained by these two chaps talking about this thing because they kept making mistakes about elements of canon. And I was almost screaming into my headphones as I was walking the dog.
Yeah, it's tricky because, you know, I'm sure I've made mistakes. Obviously, we've just heard one of mine live where I've, you know, made little errors here and there. It happens. And the trick is to kind of, if you can't get over it, fair enough. But ultimately, there are more important things in life.
They're brilliant because they do catch their mistakes and they swing back and correct themselves. And, you know, some of it's obvious to somebody who grew up with the films.
Yeah.
These gents are obviously a lot younger than us. Didn't grow up with them, grew up with the prequels.
Yeah.
They're making mistakes about the original trilogy, but then they're circling back and correcting themselves. And I just thought that was really entertaining, the fact that I'm tearing my hair out, and then they come back and go, oh, no, I've got this little thing wrong.
Yeah. I just, on a related subject, actually, I watched a YouTube video yesterday, and it was a what sounded like quite a young man narrating, and it was kind of 10 unanswered questions from the Star Wars saga. And he kept saying Dagobah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think we might have even done that once or twice, but, yeah, it's very jarring. It's very jarring. Yeah.
I mean, what's your stance on that? I will get to this.
I pronounce it Dagobah.
Dagobah,
oh, you mean a different question, sorry.
No. I will get to this guy's, the Whatnauts thing, the comment about the Rogue One trailer in a minute. But, Steve, how do you say that planet name?
I would have said Dagobah.
Dagobah.
There is there is an artist, a concept artist called Paul Bateman, who does a lot of work with Rebel Force Radio. He was Ralph McQuarrie's. He worked with him. I'm hesitant to say he was his understudy. I'm not sure that's right, but he worked with him, knew him very well. And he calls it Dagobah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's you know, it's in the film. So and I can understand Dagobah.
Handbags at dawn.
Dagobah.
Dagobah.
That's a real leap. Yeah. That's a force leap.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, there's force kick.
There's a few things that he does. Like, I think I'm right in saying that it's Paul that calls Boba Fett, Bubba Fett.
Bubba Fett?
Bubba Fett.
Bubba Fett.
You said, what, our Paul? Small.
No. This Paul Bateman guy. Not small spleen. Anyway, right, let's get to the Whatnauts comments and then we can get into breaking down this trailer. So, the Whatnauts said to us, trailer looked great, love the espionage angle, the alarm was annoying.
Yeah, I found that annoying.
Can't wait to see the new aspects of this universe explored.
That noise sounded really familiar.
Aliens.
Like I'd heard it from, I was going to say I'd heard it in Star Wars as an alien noise. Like a, you know, like wildlife or something.
Oh, right, okay.
It sounded really familiar, something along those lines.
I must have missed this alarm. I can't even remember it.
It's when they're all filing out of the base.
I love it.
It's a brilliant shot, but you're right, it's a very annoying noise. But
I think it's going to be the alarm here,
isn't when it? The ship's self-destructing in Alien, is it?
It might be,
something
actually,
like that. That's what I that's what I thought. I immediately thought of Alien. But I liked it. I liked that alarm. I thought it gave it a sense of urgency and there was this heartbeat suddenly.
Absolutely the idea.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed it. But.
Yeah.
Right, okay, thank you to the Whatnauts for sending in that comment. And again, listen to their podcast. They're great. And follow them on Twitter at the Whatnauts. That's N-A-U-T-S at the end. You will find them more than entertaining, so that's great. Should we get into our breakdown of this trailer,
Let's
guys?
Let's break it down.
Let's break down the trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of Imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What will you do when they catch you? What will you do if they break you? If you continue to fight?
Okay, so there you go, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. What do we make? Do you want to go through? Should we just dive straight into these photographs?
Let's do it. Yeah, walk away through them. We've done our impressions. Let's walk through the photos.
Okay, so there's image one in our Dropbox. There's a link in the description to the show. So if you want to follow along with us, go down and click on that. It should take you straight to the images.
Oh, cool.
So we've got Jyn.
Yep.
Erso, her name is E R S O.
Yes.
Played by Felicity Jones. Immediately, this feels like Star Wars to me. Immediately, yes, with that beautiful, and this is Alexander, is it Desplat or Desplat? What is his, I don't know how to pronounce the gent's name, the composer. He's, this is his music, I believe.
Yeah, the piano version, isn't it?
Yeah, the piano version of the Force theme, is it?
Yeah, I think so. It's lovely. It's really nicely done.
It's gorgeous. I actually reached out to David W. Collins today, trying to provoke a reaction from him. He's the guy that does Star Wars Oxygen on the Rebel Force Radio
Network. Okay, yeah.
And he's a music aficionado, this guy, isn't
he? Okay.
He's forgotten more than you and I will ever know.
I believe it.
He's fantastic. So I was trying to force a reaction out of him. I wanted to know what he thinks of it, because he had a lot to say about the music for the Force Awakens trailers, because they weren't really, they were orchestrated electronically. They weren't the real deal in the trailers. And I wanted to know what he thought of this, but I really dug it. I like that.
I liked it.
That
a lot.
Take on it. I thought it was great.
It's the same. It's familiar but different, and that's what they're kind of shooting for with this film.
Yeah.
It's supposed to slot into lore, but it's supposed to be different enough that, like you said, it's not going to convince anybody who thought they were seeing Episode 8 that they were right. You know, there's a certain disconnect that's runs throughout.
Yeah,
and it's quite nice. And also, I mean, we're looking at shot one, and the Rebel uniforms are all very.
That's kind it, of isn't it?
Authentic iconic. And yeah, exactly.
Absolutely iconic. Mm. Why didn't they ever make an action figure of that guy?
I feel like they must have.
They probably did, but not in the first wave of Kenner stuff when I was buying them as a kid. No, that was nowhere to be seen. But
yeah,
I just loved this. I think that it was inspired to have that as the first shot, because that really does place me in a New Hope time period.
Yeah, that's the way I felt. What are we still on picture one?
I've moved on to picture two, because you can see a good image of
some pilots,
the guy on the left, and there's the X-wing suits, isn't it?
Yeah, the flight suits for. We've seen them in X-wings. I think they've got different colour ones for things like B-wings and A-wings, haven't they?
Yes, so more red in the B-wings.
That's right.
I don't know what that writing is on his helmet. I don't know what it means.
This way up.
I don't think that's Aurabesh, is it? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think so. This is this way up.
This way up, yeah. Skidlid.
If you can read this, you're walking too close. Yeah.
So at this point in the trailer, we've got dialogue over the top as well of her being interviewed.
Has he got a lightsaber in his pocket?
No, it's a blaster, I think.
Oh, okay.
Could be a blaster. It could also be one of those, because they've got in episode 4, when they're guiding the X-Wings down, they've got those sort of coloured rods. Yeah. So it might be one of them.
Yeah, it could be.
Could be somebody who's just come off duty or something like that.
They got it from Heathrow.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you go on to the next image,
yes,
you can see her hands are cuffed.
They are. That was interesting to me. It makes me wonder if she's been. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because obviously she's clearly being convinced to join the rebels, but they don't trust her yet because she's cuffed and she's been brought before what we're going to assume is Mon Mothma. She's been brought before her, cuffed up. So they're obviously not sure what she's going to do.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think there's been a rumor for a while that this character of Jin is going to be the daughter of a character called Galen, played by
Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah.
Who may have had a hand in designing, or at least putting the finishing touches to the construction of the Death Star.
Yeah.
So it might be that she's helping the rebellion here, but not entirely of her own free will. Perhaps it's the promise of undermining her father's work that motivates her.
Or it could be that they know who she is and by extension who he is, and they're not going to, they don't trust her straight away because they think it's a double bluff or a trick or something like that.
Yeah.
And in the left hand side of the shot, does it look like a CCTV camera just pointed up at her?
Yeah.
I've just noticed Gonk Droid on the right.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic,
isn't it? That Gonk
Droid. Lovely touch. And they're loading up some sort of big pallet type thing.
Yeah, you got a guy in there doing his best Han Solo impression. What if that's Anthony and Gruber?
That looked like Han Solo.
Oh, it'd be amazing if it was Anthony and Gruber, wasn't it?
Wouldn't it? That'd be good.
Yeah.
Are we going to see Leia in this one?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Might do.
Maybe.
Not Carrie.
Maybe in a passing shot at the end of the film.
That's what I think.
Although they could CGI her face, couldn't they? I mean, there's no reason why not.
They could. They could use Billy Lord.
In a couple of images' time, there's that droid that we've spoken about, and I'll mention again my theory then that might bring Leia in. But if you move on to the next image, you've got the X-Wing, the traditional X-Wing.
Of course.
Being brought in. And
you've got those trolleys that they were using to bring pilots to and from.
Yes.
As well.
Also taken from Heathrow.
Yes. Yeah. And what's Heathrow? You won't know yet. So, yeah. Oh, come on.
If you look in the background...
There's a little baggage claim sign.
Yeah. There's a guy in a B-Wing fighter.
Who's the guy doing the very gay stance?
Who are we looking?
With his teapot.
Hang on, have we jumped ahead?
No, still the X-Wing one.
I can't make it out very well.
If you look to the right, right in the centre of the
frame... Oh, yeah, I've got him, yeah. Jin. It looks like he's draped in...
Like a lemur.
It's just the way the shot was done. There's a bloke's arm you can see, like, just kind of over the top of him. I thought he was draped in an American flag when I first glanced. I was like, come on.
That's patriotic.
What's a lemur, Mark?
A lemur, like a monkey.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm trying to think what you mean, but where is that in the shot?
If you look on the right hand side, you've got a guy in a bright red flight suit.
Yeah.
Looks like a lemur.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, it looks like Father Christmas.
Yeah. Father Christmas lemur.
Yes. Yeah, that is a strange, big, very wide eyes.
You want iconic shots, move on to the next one. So at this point in the trailer, we get into the real meat of it now with Jin being brought in to meet with someone we're going to see in just a second. Look at these control panels. This is the staging area for the assault on the Death Star in Episode 4, isn't it?
Yeah, this is classic Rebel Command Center.
Absolutely classic. So we know that this is right at the time that they're getting ready to take this thing down.
Now, I should know this, but Mon Mothma isn't even incidentally in Episode 4, is she?
She's not, no.
Nope.
So she
first appears in Jedi.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next image then, because as Jin's moved in, we get... She's being addressed now by Mon Mothma, and they're talking about all the recalcitrant behaviour that Jin's been displaying. So this, like Steve, what you said about the assaults and things like that. So here we've got Genevieve O'Reilly, who's playing Mon Mothma, who we'd spoken about, I think, before we were recording, was actually cast as Mon Mothma in Revenge of the Sith and then was cut.
Yes.
Now, it's that sort of continuity...
That's going to help a lot.
I find that so inspiring.
Yes.
That even though she was never on screen, she was in the finished deleted scenes on the Blu-ray, she was never on screen, but they haven't recast this role.
Yeah.
They've kept her because she was the right actor for the role.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, they could have made the argument that only 11 years have passed since Revenge of the Sith, and obviously 18, I think we're led to believe about 18 years have passed between 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So in theory, they could have got away with saying, oh, no, we need to recast her because there's an age gap. But I'm glad they've stuck to their guns and kind of, because I think she just looks spot on.
And look in the background on the left-hand side.
Yep.
That guy looks like he's just stepped out of episode 4. The guy with the beard.
They both do.
It looks like General Dodonna.
He does a bit, yeah. It could well be him.
Look like that character.
Well, look at that thing on the left lapel of his shirt, because that's the thing to look at episode 4 and see if
it's got a QR code, isn't it? What do you get?
It's the Purina logo.
I was going to say Purina.
Yeah.
It is. What do you get if you scan it in? Is it like a QR code?
Yeah, it's a link to Talk Star Wars.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thanks for that, guys. Thanks, Disney. That's really kind of you.
And we've got another beauty shot of Felicity Jones, she's really starting to get sold on this.
She's looking at me.
Shot 7 to shot 8, she just kind of goes, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I actually grabbed that exact frame because that's the cover art for this episode of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Her looking straight at. Actually, I've got a choice of two. I think this one's probably going to be the cover art, but the other one is her in the disguise we see at the end.
Yeah.
But then if we move on, now we get Diego Luna's character.
Yes.
He's got a slightly different Purina logo.
We have, well, that's
two lozenges.
I like that. It's really nice.
I love that jacket.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I like the jacket, and I like the little badge thing he's wearing. I want one.
Now look at his jacket. Look at the pinstripes up the side. It's like Han's
blood stripes on his trousers. Maybe he's a kind of character with a complex past.
Carillion. He's got a Han Solo shirt as well.
It's not quite a blood stripe, though, is it?
No, not quite. But it's not a million miles.
I've heard rumblings. This is obviously all speculation at this point, but I've heard rumblings that people are starting to think he might be a Dameron.
Yes,
He looks like the character from Shattered Empire.
Yeah, that was on makingstarwars.net this week.
Yeah.
Because they said initially, I think his name was... I think his name now is Cassian something. Cassian Willard, I think.
All right.
But I think there was talk that, they were talking about Cassian Dameron or something. I was just trying to look it up, but
I'll go for it. It's a nice kind of, it doesn't detract from the story if he is or he isn't really. It doesn't really make any odds.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think he looks great. I think he really looks the part.
Yeah, I think he belongs in Star Wars. He looks like he belongs in Star Wars for sure.
Then we move on. So now we're getting the shots. Trying to remember what the dialogue is in the trailer. I think we're hearing now that she's...
Just before she says, I'm a rebel.
Yeah, they're listing her
rebellion.
Crimes, aren't they, really? And you're about to see her and in Stormtroopers. They're just desserts, he says, trying not to swear on his own podcast.
Yeah, that's one of the bugbears I have. And it happens twice in the trailer.
Right.
With her and Donnie Yen.
Yep.
There's nothing special about those melee weapons that, to me, says they should be able to take down a stormtrooper through their armor.
Right.
Now, obviously, we've seen in Force Awakens their sort of stun batons and things like that.
Yeah.
It seems to me like that would have been an easy one to just have.
But she switches up to a blaster pretty quickly in this.
She does.
Shot,
this is true.
Doesn't she?
Yes, she does. But at the same time, to me, the idea of meleeing a stormtrooper doesn't feel like it should be as effective as they are in the trailer.
No.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they just haven't added the effects of like sparks or.
It seems like a weird shot to put in the trailer if you're gonna then touch it up in post production. It seems like an odd choice.
Even you say, it's not even, it's like a flick stick, isn't it?
Like a baton. It's just like just a stick.
Maybe it's just showing us how formidable she is.
Yeah.
Look at this shot of her. I mean, this street that she's in, this marketplace, if you like, looks like it could be, looks a bit like Tatooine. Maybe it's a little bit more populated than Tatooine. Could be Lothal.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't look like Tatooine in the background.
Lothal in Rebels is very much like this.
Could be, yeah.
So it could be Lothal, maybe. But in the background behind her, you can see the spindly droid. That's Alan Tudyk's character.
You can just about make out part of his arm and one leg. Where, hang on, that's a boot.
There's the shot of her wearing the burqa.
Yeah.
It's after the one where we were looking at Diego Luna, and then you got a shot of her wearing a burqa as she's creeping down an alleyway, and right behind her is Alan Tudyk's droid.
Ask about Alan Tudyk.
There's like spindles. I can see spindles.
Yeah, spindly arms.
Yeah.
So is he doing mocap and voice?
He's doing performance capture and voice, and I think... Oh, I see what you're looking at, Rob, on the next image, yeah. I think... Let's cut to it now. I think that he will be the last man standing in this movie. I know we've discussed it on the podcast before, mm-hmm. but I suspect that everybody else is going to come off worse in this movie.
Yeah,
including her.
Including her, I think, at the hands of Vader, I would imagine. But I think the droid will sneak through and he will deliver the plans to, and this is where we might get Princess Leia cameo, to a young Leia and Bail Organa.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll hand off immediately to episode 4.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. All right, we've got another shot of Mon Mothma. So now it seems like she's pretty much sold on joining the rebellion. And that's when we get that comment that she says, I'm a rebel. This is a rebellion.
I rebel.
Superb.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see her on a landing craft of some type, and I deliberately included this shot because it's got a nice bit of lens flare in there, and I wanted to give JJ a break because
it's not just him. They're all guilty of it at some point.
But also looks really cool. It looks really tangible.
It's interesting because it looks like she's on a train.
Yeah.
But obviously there's not really...
But we've seen a train, haven't we? There is a train later on in this trailer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or something that's vaguely representing the train. Anyway, we move on and we get this shot now. So Mon Mothma is still informing Jyn about what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
She's saying there's a super weapon, they need more about it, and need more knowledge about what the weapon is and how to take it down.
It's the weapons test they're talking about, isn't it? There's a weapons test. You need to know what it is and how to stop it or something like that.
Is that the Star Destroyer got an extra opening in front of the large opening?
It does, doesn't it?
It does look like it has, yeah.
I think there are more than one on the Star Destroyer. You just don't necessarily see them open at all at the same time.
And also on the top of its dome, at the top
it's got a little sky dish, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got like an X. Like,
or a spring.
Yeah.
Well, what that is. I've not seen that before either.
Maybe it's being used to ferry stuff around.
Well, it's also got those ball things.
They have two, don't they? One on each side.
I'm so surprised by the scale of the Death Star.
Well, I mean, we always knew it was big.
Yeah, but this big. I mean, that little Star Destroyer nearest to the dish, to the emitter.
Yeah.
It
always was. When you think, when they first fly to it in the Falcon,
it's a moon. It's
massive because you go into a trench and then into an even bigger trench inside that trench.
And he refers to it as a moon.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm now looking at the image of the dish being lowered into place.
I have a theory on this. So I'm thinking it's just being finished. You know, it's as in, you know, last day, maybe just filling out admin for most people, and then one poor sod.
Yeah.
Who's lowering the dish on. And like you say, maybe they're using it to ferry. Although if you look, there's three Star Destroyers on the right-hand side of this shot, right?
Yeah.
If you look, I mean, obviously without ballooning these up, I can't be sure, but it looks to me like they've all got that little X thing on them.
Yeah.
So well, I wonder if it's a modification they made to these particular ones or...
I'm just going to bed in a picture of one of the original. You're right, there are two balls.
Yeah.
But... look at the differences.
I know my balls.
Yeah. The X thing isn't really an X on the original.
It's not. You're
just
right.
Just a straight across bit.
Yeah.
They're a lot more fiddly, the old ones. Not
a
lot of sort of bits sticking out. And
yeah.
I couldn't get the underside. But
maybe they are a different class.
Yeah, I mean, there's not going to be a huge amount in it. Because, I mean, obviously we've in the... I don't know how much of them are still canon, but there have been previous classes of Star Destroyer, like Imperial, Victory, and stuff like that. And there's Interdictors, but they look totally different because they're designed to do a different job. But I think that maybe these might be, you know, some of them might be Victory class, some of them might be Imperial class.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's one thing we know is, you know, the Imperial Star Destroyer, I believe, is the bigger one. And... I think maybe we're looking at Victory class. Maybe they're designed to look a bit smaller against the Death Star because they are physically smaller.
When you say the Imperial one, do you mean Vader's The
no, that's the Superstar
Executor.
Destroyer.
Oh yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like
these are Imperials, aren't they?
Well, I'm thinking these might be Victory class because so they might be slightly smaller. They might be a little smaller.
Which look explains
ever so slightly different, but yeah. Not by much. Because the Imperial one in Episode 4 is enormous.
The one that chases down the blockade runner. Yeah.
Exactly. But then, and I don't think we ever see that one next to the Death Star. So that might look a bit bigger in scale. So
you do see it in Episode 4. You do see it sort of approaching the Death Star.
But you do.
It
that's
takes
right.
up most of the frame. The Death Star's way off in the distance.
I'm just looking for. I've found a kind of chart. There we go. I'll chuck this in the. It's got, okay. You might want to put this actually, Mark, if it's not going to breach any copyright, into the. With
I think
the
that ship has sailed.
I'm just sending it to you now, but that's a brilliant.
Oh, that's great!
Oh wow, look at that!
Yeah, we might use that in a post, but I don't think I'll put it in the show notes because last time I put images in the show notes, it derailed the podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but yeah,
yeah. See, there you go. Victory class is similar shape, but a bit smaller.
Yeah.
So I wonder if maybe that is so the Imperial is the one we see in Episode 4, and these are Victory class Star Destroyers.
Now, bear in mind when the second Death Star is built. Or it's probably been built at this point, but by the time that's in use, it's bigger than the original Death Star, isn't it? The one in Jedi.
I think so, yeah.
It's larger. And the Executor crashes into the surface.
Yes.
And the surface is flat. There's no curvature. The horizon...
It has to be enormous.
The plane has to be enormous. Where do they get all the resources? Where do they mine this ore to build this stuff?
Yeah.
Must be a lot of barren worlds out there.
Well, that's the impression I get certainly from the Legends canon, you kind of get the impression they've been exploiting a lot of worlds for resources.
Yeah. And there was a whole thing in the Clone Wars about money as well.
Yes.
The Emperor sort of stole a bunch of money to finance it. But
where do you
do something?
In the Star Wars films, obviously the Executor class is the one that's goes into the asteroid field, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where do you see a Malevolent class? I've never seen that.
I think that's probably Expanded Universe.
Oh, okay. Inquisitor.
Yeah, Inquisitor class is Expanded Universe as well, I think. Yeah. I think a lot of these are. There's no... That's interesting, there's no Interdictors, because Interdictors are kind of similar... like, they're not the same shape, but they're kind of built from... They're from the same family, as far as I know.
Are they newer in terms of canon?
They're Legends canon. Right. But I don't know if they might have been reintroduced. Some stuff has.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to be, I think, but on their own terms.
Yeah, exactly. They just do it as they kind of decide, you know, what makes sense and stuff. There was one of my friends pointed out to me that at one point, Nar Shaddaa was canon, but Nal Hutta wasn't. And Nar Shaddaa was the moon of Nal Hutta. So the moon was canon, but the planet wasn't, or something like that.
And now Nal Hutta is canon.
And now both of them are, yeah.
There might be a bit of that in Episode 8, actually.
Maybe, yeah.
So moving back into the trailer, we've got this chap that's been talking to Jin. He looks like he's going to be...
her kind of point of contact.
Handler or something,
He's got loads of lozenges. Do you reckon he's got a throat infection?
I think he has, yeah.
Because they look like strepsils to me.
Probably thrush.
Could be, or they look like strepsils.
And if you look at the next shot of Felicity Jones, she's looking at him very suspiciously, thinking...
As if to say, like, I recognise them.
What have you got, you...
Yeah, you dirty
filthy
boy.
Beast. And then the next shot we get, this is where the alarm comes into place.
Yes.
And you start to get this beat, this heartbeat through the trailer.
Yes.
Of the rebel troops sort of running out of the Masasi temple on Yavin 4, if we're right.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. You've got your gonk droid.
Yep.
Look at all the different types of troops as well. You've got your X-Wing pilots.
Yep.
And you've got the Rebel ground troops as well.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they've just stepped out of Return of the Jedi.
Well, that guy looks like he's off of Endor on the right next to
Gonk. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, that helmet.
And then between him and Gonk, you've got another guy cosplaying as Han Solo in the background there. And that very welcome sight of that X-Wing fighter. And there's a little R2 unit on the back of that X-Wing fighter as well.
Where's R5?
Yes, that's your R5, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, is he R5?
Plug into the X-Wing. I think that's enough. It's certainly an R. It's maybe an R4 or an R5.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Right, the next shot. This is something I think is really going to get some...
This is why I'm excited.
This is going to get some juices flowing, isn't it?
Do you know, I tell you why I'm excited?
Who is it, Rob?
That is an Imperial Grand Admiral's uniform.
And do we think it's Thrawn?
No.
No?
No, because Thrawn's blue.
But you don't think he's going to be retconned slightly?
No. Not like that, no.
This is fantastic, though, isn't it? This
what
is
a shot.
The actor is Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah.
And I don't know how familiar you are with the work of Ben Mendelsohn.
I'm not.
He is spectacular. spectacular.
Is he really?
Absolutely spectacular. He makes my skin crawl in just about every role I've seen him in.
Okay.
I saw him in Killing Them Softly, is it, with Brad Pitt? The Place Beyond the Pines. He was also another skeevy little weasel in that. And hands down, the best thing I've ever seen him in is a show called Bloodlines on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I was just having a look at his IMDb here. He's in Dark Knight Rises, but I can't remember.
Fantastic.
What he plays.
Yes. He played the guy
running Bane. He's just like one of Bane's gits, isn't he?
Yeah. And he's the guy that Catwoman thinks has got the blank slate.
Yeah.
He's an amazing actor. He's fantastic. And bringing in such a heavyweight into this role as well. Mm. I mean, there is talk that there's going to be Peter Cushing. There's going to be a CGI Peter Cushing. I imagine these two being at loggerheads. Because he's clearly on.
Is he got?
Well, he's, like I say, that's an Imperial Grand Admiral's uniform.
And he's on the Death Star there, right?
It seems to me he is, yeah. Or
what's he got in weapon wise hanging?
It looks like a long tip blaster, doesn't it?
It does. I wonder if it's a cane that
works
as a blaster.
I would think that if it wasn't for the fact that later on in the trailer you see a shot of him actually on the world.
Yeah, walking through the water.
Maybe I'm not. Maybe the resemblance to the Grand Admiral's uniform is kind of coincidental, and we're actually just looking at a pursuer who's going to be sort of after them for the duration of the film, trying to stop their scheme.
Oh, I don't know. He seems pretty.
I hope he's. I
he
hope
seems pretty
I
important.
Really, I really want that to be a Grand Admiral's uniform because I want there to be more Grand Admirals because they're going to.
Yeah.
I know from reading an article. I think there's a plan to introduce Thrawn into Rebels.
There is, I think, yeah.
And I'm well up for that as long as they don't tinker too much with his origin story, because his origin story is one of the reasons his character is so good. Because he's an alien who's from the unknown regions, and the Imperials don't want aliens. They're big on, you know, there's a lot of, you know, galactic racism or whatever you want to call it in the Star Wars universe when it comes to the Empire.
Xenophobia.
But Palpatine recognizes Thrawn's abilities so much that he gives him a Grand Admiral's Grand Admiral rank, which don't get handed out very often, and sends him off to I think he sends him off to unknown space until Heir to the Empire. So as long as they don't tinker too much with why he, you know, him being blue and why he's where he is and stuff, I'd be quite happy if they kept that stuff as it was.
Yeah.
And to as much as they can.
Steve, you're familiar with Thrawn as well from those books, aren't you?
Yes, they Heir to the Empire, that's the only one I read, actually.
Right. Oh, okay. I'd definitely recommend reading the whole series, because the trilogy is nothing short of superb. Mm. But, like I say, I don't want it to be Thrawn, because if it's Thrawn, they're going to have to redo his origin in a massive way, because for him to be in place there just before episode 4 has to then,
maybe
change around his origins completely.
Maybe it is just the introduction of this Grand Admiral, though, but I wouldn't be surprised if he seems to me, from this establishing shot in the trailer, that he's a significant presence.
Could you blame Peter Cushing's character?
No, definitely not.
Too young.
No, and he was a Grand Moff, wasn't he, Cushing?
Yeah, far too young.
He was extremely powerful within the Empire, Tarkin.
Yeah.
He was right up there with the Emperor, wasn't he?
Plus, we've seen him in episode 3 in his Grand Moff's...
Yeah, in the grave.
Kind of, yeah, unless he was a Moff then and now he's Grand Moff. But
yeah, I think...
It doesn't seem like his rank has gone up too massively in those ensuing years.
I'm pretty sure he's created his own rank. Tarkin.
Probably.
I think he's made a position for himself.
In fact, I think that might be in Legends canon.
This guy, where he's standing on the bridge or the command deck of this Death Star in that uniform, he looks nothing but confident.
Yep.
Borderline arrogant.
Yep.
I imagine he's there in a significant role.
We
might see him exit the story in this movie.
It could well be, because I mean, otherwise you have to explain where he's gone.
Where he was.
Yeah. Where he's gone for the original trilogy, because if he's in a position of significant power, which is why I'm starting to wonder if maybe it's just a kind of a nod to the Grand Admiral's uniform, and he's just a sort of a pursuer, a kind of, you know, a foiler of their plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine those blue and red strepsil things are medals of some sort.
They're rankings of some sort, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be silly. They don't serve a purpose. They're a bit like Darth Vader's buttons on his suit. They don't actually do it. They just flash.
You don't know that they don't do anything.
They do. I press them all.
It's a built-in podcasting equipment.
There are a lot of... I'm just having a look, actually. I'm seeing a lot of questions about... sort of rhetorical questions about whether or not that's Thrawn. But I don't want it to be, because they would have to make some sweeping changes to his origin.
We'll see how bold they are now then, Rob, won't we?
This is true.
Right, moving on a little bit, we've got another shot of whatever this planet is, which I think would be great if it was Lothal.
That'd be cool.
Or Stormtroopers.
Is that Elephant Man from 4?
No, that's an arm going in the other direction.
Yeah, that's a character behind, but that's a big beefy arm, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's got the thumb on the wrong side. Yeah,
exactly.
Character in the foreground. Is that Elephant Man?
It's a man. It's just a human in a leather
hood. It's got the same sort of headpiece as Elephant Man, isn't it?
Not far off.
Yeah. I don't think it's the Elephant Man.
I don't know what that character's name, the Elephant Man, is called.
John Merrick? Oh, you mean...
No.
Sorry.
Begins with a G. I can't remember.
Garandan.
That's him.
Yeah.
This reveal of Forrest Whitaker, we also hear some dialogue about Forrest Whitaker sort of asking the girl
what are you going to do,
what she thinks
of become and stuff.
Implying she needs to consider her destiny and her legacy.
Yeah.
I've just heard this week about Forrest Whitaker's uniform or his costume in this movie, and I was really worried when I'd heard about it. It was being described as a Buzz Lightyear style suit of armour.
Wow, they're really generous on that one.
Yeah.
Tell you what it looks like. It reminds me of the Techno Alliance from episode 2.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that sort of.
He's got a robotic leg in this. So it wouldn't surprise me if he has got some of this kit.
He's got an oxygen mask on the front.
Definitely, yeah. Yes. Yeah,
could be. But I say it looks to me like the Techno Alliance from episode 2.
Yeah.
Another one that's like, you know, has to sort of tune in his voice.
Oh, that was awful.
I wonder if maybe it could, but I'm not suggesting he's one of those characters. I think he might maybe scrounge the parts or something.
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to keep himself alive with tech, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So straight after Forrest, we get the shot, the 11 second shot that I woke up to. The black stormtroopers. Are these like the shadow troopers, I guess? This is what we're hearing about.
Sort of elite commandos.
The elite commandos.
With the black shoulder pad, which obviously is significant.
Yeah.
Because you've got red, white, and black.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess. Are there any other colours?
Gold, I think.
Is there a yellow?
Gold, maybe.
Yeah, like yellowy gold one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Then we get a marketplace. Very Star Wars-y marketplace, lots of hooded alien characters.
They're all cuffed, again.
Troops
cuffed. Pilots are all cuffed.
So they're getting beaten, aren't they?
Yeah.
A Jawa on the left.
On the left? No. On the right? No, not on either of those.
There's one each side.
There's a red...
Yeah.
There's a red
just hooded red characters, I think.
Yeah, red hooded character. They might be locals to the planet, but they look more like... do you remember Orko from Master of the Universe?
They do, yeah. They just haven't got the big zero.
Yeah.
The big eye on
the chest. There's a young Wedge, or not young, a Wedge Antilles in this.
Maybe.
Well, that's who I thought Diego Luna might have been playing.
Okay.
Not Wedge. Biggs. I thought he was playing Biggs Darklighter.
Oh, Biggs.
Okay.
Is Biggs the one that buys it in the trench?
Yeah. He has the cool little tash, and he has the little cape, and he goes back to Luke, doesn't he, and talks about joining the Alliance and stuff. If we look at the next shot, we've got what I think is a train. You know, we were talking about a train. It looks like a subway on the right.
That's, so I believe it's Canary Wharf.
Oh, is it really?
Apparently so. I think Jem was telling me earlier that Rogue One was shot.
Oh, that's awesome.
I thought it was Canary Wharf.
What they are, Mark, they're the safety doors some tube stations have.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's Canary Wharf. Yeah.
It definitely looks real, doesn't it? And it looks like there are escalators going up as well. The banks of escalators.
Yeah, like I say, it's Canary Wharf tube station.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. So there we've got Jin, and who we believe is Cassian, Diego Luna's character.
Two Dicks droid.
Which I think his name is Double Wang.
Double Wang.
And then you get another shot. Obviously, the people that are chasing our heroes are all these. And now this is what the guys...
Now, here's an interesting...
This is what the guys were talking about. Was it the Tumbling Saber guys that were saying about where's this variety of Stormtrooper?
Yeah, there's some.
There's a few there, aren't there?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, actually, that to me looks like it could be an interior of an Imperial base, because right. It's got the same kind of... If you look at the two Stormtroopers on the left of the shot, one you can sort of partially obscured.
Yeah.
In between them is a wall that looks very much like Episode 4. Yeah. Looks much like the Death Star. It looks like the Death Star. Yeah, so I'm wondering if they've got a kind of standard Imperial decorating theme.
Yeah, they have.
I'm not suggesting this is the Death Star, because I think actually... Although, I mean, we've only seen a tiny portion of it.
Yeah.
So unless they've gone on to get the plans from the Death Star itself, that'd be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm. That's awesome. So that's a great shot.
It's a really cool shot, yeah.
Right. The next image is Donnie Yen. I've got something massively controversial to say about this.
Here's my issue. This is another one of those issues I've got, is a stick.
Yeah.
That is not a fancy weapon. That is a bit of wood.
It is a stick. And do you know the defining characteristic about this character?
No.
Steve?
No.
He's blind.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay. Has he only got one leg, or is that just one?
That's just a shot. You can see the shot. You can just about make the foot out in the background.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like got three legs, actually, like Rolf Harris, Jacob Pegg. So this character's blind.
Right.
And he's obviously a little bit handy. Now, there's been some talk as well that he may be force sensitive.
Yeah.
Right.
At the end of the major spoilers now for Star Wars Rebels Season 2, the two-part finale, Twilight of the Apprentice.
Mm.
So if you don't want spoilers for that, jump forward 30 seconds.
Yeah, a minute or so.
Kanan is blinded by Darth Maul.
Okay.
So I think this might be Kanan.
Interesting.
In live action.
Mm.
So none of the characters in Rebels, none of the lead characters are white.
That's true.
We've been told categorically none of them are white.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason why this can't be Kanan. Now, I asked Freddie Prinze Jr. this. Freddie Prinze Jr. provides the voice of...
Yes, he does.
...Kanan in the TV show.
Yes.
And he said, they certainly wouldn't tell me, but I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So there's a good chance that this could be Kanan. Now, he might move away from the lightsaber.
Yes.
Because of the loss of his sight.
And the Jedi still being exterminated thing.
Yeah. And he's using a weapon that he's familiar with. And he's using the Force, and that's why he's so powerful in this scene.
Yeah. So there's, like I say, I'm fully aware that Donnie Yen could kill me with that stick.
Yeah.
So let's not go crazy on
this.
But
it has got knobbles on it. It could be.
That's fine then. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be something they put in pre-post production. I think, is that a really poor shot of one of the camera guys on the left standing? No, that's a blaster.
You can see part of a blaster, and then you can see a character in the background.
Stormtrooper head.
I took two looks at that as well, Steve.
Yeah. There's a crashed X-Wing in the background as well.
There is.
Mm.
Yeah, and it looks like there might be like a parachute as well.
Yeah, it could be. Or it's crashed through something.
Yeah, unless it's crashed through something. But it looks fantastic. Still looks great.
Yeah, the S-4s are not locked either in attack position, so it's not been... in a fight, it's just come down.
Yeah.
Maybe it's been shot out of the sky while
It was that dog I saw flying a plane on the TV show before we started recording. We get another shot of Donnie Yen as well, where you can kind of see that they've done something with his eyes. And then we get to the special shuttle that you like, Steve.
Yeah, I like that. That's cool. And it shows really huge. It's huge, isn't it?
It is huge, yeah. It's enormous.
What's that to the right of it? Is that another...
It's a base.
It looks like a base, like a little command structure. Like maybe it's just a kind of, you know, when you first land something, you have to sort of...
See, this is a tropical sort of area, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot shot in the Maldives.
Okay.
I actually wrote an article about it in December and somebody retweeted it today. I don't know where they dug that up from.
Nice. You'd always be surprised when these things happen, you know. It's interesting that we saw forest camo kind of uniforms from both the Rebels and I think we saw some Empire ones. So it's entirely possible this is a planet with mixed terrain.
Yes.
So they've got a mix of everything.
And when the crew went to film in the Maldives, they took a helicopter with them.
Okay.
So there's going to be some aerial stuff in this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only way you can really appreciate the Maldives, I think, from the air. That unique sort of topography is better viewed from the air.
Yeah.
So we move on. We get a couple more of the Shadow Troopers. It's elite shock troops.
Mm-hmm.
They're going up. Yep. Those blasters look absolutely Amazing.
They look awesome, don't they? Yeah.
And then we get the shot of what we assume is Ben Mendelsohn. And his
I think we can assume that's Ben Mendelsohn.
And his white cape. And there's.
And like some... I say, but it's interesting because if you look in the background, there's loads of devastation and destruction near it. Like, it's like he's come off the shuttle to kind of evaluate a disastrous situation.
Yeah.
So maybe they've been sort of trying to apprehend them and they've failed. And he's sort of on the planet looking for survivors to find out what happened or something like that.
Yeah.
So he could be still be a kind of high-ranking political figure,
but someone that's not afraid to get their hands dirty.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'd be a great character as well, because we don't really see, you know, Vader's kind of the most obvious example.
Yeah.
Ren, but you don't see a lot of non-force users who are kind of hands-on like that in Star Wars.
Right. I like this shot, but
this shot.
It's the next moment.
Yeah.
This to me just does so much to say. Star Wars,
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Screaming Star Wars. And clearly, we got the Royal Guard.
Yep,
and we're inside an Imperial facility. But who is this hooded figure?
I'm going to throw one out there.
Go on,
Palpatine.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because why else were they guard? Are there guards there?
Mm. Yeah,
it can't be Vader. Well, obviously not. But even without his helmet on, he wouldn't wear a hood.
Well. You know,
I wondered whether there's something about composing a shot that would, because this looks like a reveal to me.
Okay.
With the, like, we've got something staged in the background being flanked by the Imperial Guards, and then this character is moving forward into the frame.
Yes.
It looks like a reveal, and I'm pretty sure this character is about to drop to his knees.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you wouldn't think the Emperor would do that to anybody. No.
And I would imagine that the Emperor is probably on the other side of him, perhaps. Yeah.
Inside that glowing tube.
Thing. Yeah, maybe he's... Because at this point, the Imperial Senate is still in play.
That's true.
So
could that be a white suit, actually? But because it's in light lit from the front, it looks dark.
Yeah, you might be right there, Steve. I'm assuming that it's black, but it's because he's in silhouette because he's been backlit.
Yeah.
But I thought initially that this might be Vader, and he might have a hood up, because I don't know whether he's got a hood on that cloak or not. But, and then because the Imperial Senate is still in place, you've still got the Emperor as very much a political figure, and this whole Death Star thing is being done off the books, remember? So this might be him controlling things remotely. So we might see Palpatine, or if we don't see him, we might hear him coming from this, if he's a hologram.
I think you're right in that it's probably not Palpatine actually in that shot because
he's going to be kneeling. On Coruscant.
He is kneeling.
And the composition of this shot, to my mind, if you're going to introduce Palpatine, you would reveal him. You wouldn't have him walking away from camera. You'd reveal him in a way that's impactful.
Yeah, and you'd have, I mean, that kind of... What is that thing in the background that is kind of walking towards? We're saying he...
Some sort of life support or a hologram projector.
That's what I'm thinking, hologram projector.
Okay, so it could be a crude one from sort of before they improve the tech.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, though, because there's a lot of smoke and stuff around it. Yeah,
it looks almost like the carbon freezing chamber, doesn't it? There's so much in this scene.
All right, so here's a question, right? Could it be a back-to-tank?
Yeah, it could be.
Somebody's injured.
And somebody's healing inside it.
Well, maybe the Palpatine's injured and that the Royal Guard's protecting him.
Maybe. Or it could be Vader inside that, and maybe that's his kind of... Because we still haven't been given a definitive yes or no whether or not he's in the film.
Remember at this point, Vader's still sort of junior to Tarkin.
True.
So I don't know whether he would have the Royal Guards. We didn't see him with the Royal Guards in Star Wars when he... boarded the blockade runner.
True.
He wasn't afforded any of that sort of pomp and ceremony, was he? He was very much an enforcer.
Yeah. Could it be Palpatine undergoing some sort of life prolonging mechanics? Hence the guards are there.
Yeah,
It opens up a lot of questions, I'll say that.
It does. This one shot really left me with so many questions, because everything else I've heard rumours about, or we've spoken about, or I've written something on the site about it, and this is the one thing I wasn't really expecting.
No.
But that bears further discussion, I would imagine, at some point later.
Yeah.
So we got more Forrest Whitaker looking like he might actually just be a head, and the rest of that could all be a robot.
Oh, it could be. Yeah.
Looks like it.
Just being kept alive by the suit.
Here's a nice geeky observation. This next character, who's clearly a bounty hunter, they've obviously put a group of bounty hunters together because they're so ragtag.
Okay.
To this assault. This Asian chap with a goatee beard, he's got, it looks like Biff's baseball cap from Back to baseball bat from Back to the Future 2 mounted on his back there. I think he's going to call Vader a chicken, and that thing's going to extend and cause a lot of trouble. And then maybe. Now this.
Do you reckon they got some mercenaries involved in this one?
Yeah, this is.
This is a wonderful shot. Oh, this is fantastic. This is the one I will say. Even the first time round, I thought that's incredible.
This is a money shot, isn't it? Yeah. So we've got a ground assault. We've got people on foot.
Trying to avoid the different fire. She's running forward with a pair of pistols in her hand.
Yeah.
So she's not, you know, she's obviously not afraid. I just want to ease back to the Forrest Whitaker shot.
Yeah.
I'm just watching the trailer now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm watching him talk, and he doesn't look comfortable in his own body.
No.
He looks kind of a little bit aggravated.
And we're assuming this guy is a good guy, are we?
What, Forrest Whitaker?
Hmm.
Could be another bounty hunter.
Could he be in that Bacta tank?
Maybe, yeah.
That seems like a bit of a stretch to me. I think he might be a good guy because he's got that warm American sound, and we're usually the Brits are usually the villains, right? Limeys.
Mm.
Limeys. These AT-AT walkers are a little different, and we've spoken about this previously, haven't we? With the panels on the doors, they do look bigger. They certainly look bigger than Rey's home did in Force Awakens.
Yes.
And they are absolutely brilliant.
And they move like the old AT-ATs as well.
Yeah.
They kind of swing you watch the head swing around.
Looking in different directions and stuff, all covering each other, aren't they?
And they look, and the head just swings around to fire at them.
Yeah.
And they got that brown panel on the side you were saying about.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I wonder if these are sort of modular sections that get attached depending on what
they're doing.
What their responsibilities are, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they open up and troops deploy from them, and maybe there are ships inside them.
Could
speeder
be.
Speeder bikes or something. We've heard that they're going to be using the snow speeder type craft in this, although they won't be snow speeders, they'll just be speeders.
Yeah.
But they're going to make, the rebels are going to have access to those in this movie.
Yeah.
I love this shot. I love this blue sky and tropical.
Yeah.
Seeing these things in that environment is fantastic. It's the flip side of where we last saw them, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And then we get the final shot, which I think I might vote for this week's cover art, is Jin in an Imperial Death Star Gunners.
Yes.
Uniform.
That does look awesome. And that shot, somebody drew a parallel between that shot and Mark Hamill in Cloud City's duct system.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that she's in a kind of similar situation. She's sneaking through some sort of area that she's not supposed to be going through, dressed
got
as
a pair of those
guiding things, isn't she?
No, yeah, well, they're like almost like nunchuckers.
Well, I was going to say they look like sort of guiding rods, like a pilot, like those people would use to sort of guide ships in.
Yeah,
so maybe she's flight deck uniform.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm.
That's just awesome. It's such a cool callback to episode 4.
Yeah.
Where you get those gunners have got those sort of strange helmets that drop down. They don't have any eyepieces, just have like a little slit, don't they? And they have the cog emblem on the forehead. They look amazing. She's going to look fantastic. I think Diego Luna is also disguised as an Imperial Death Squad commander or something. So they're clearly undercover on the Death Star getting something or someone.
Mm.
Maybe they've taken Galen and she needs to go and get her father.
Yeah.
Whatever it is going to be fantastic. So that's it. That's the whole trailer. At some point, we should just do audio commentary through the whole thing.
Yeah, I think I've figured out a way technologically to do it. So,
that'll be good.
We'll have to chat about it at some point and see if I may have to sort of borrow the kind of technological hosting duties, even though I won't be the main host for the actual show itself.
Absolutely fine.
But whatever I can, I think I've figured out a way to do it, but I need to test it out, obviously, at some point.
Superb, right.
Very good.
So, any other thoughts on this trailer? Because that, I mean, I have to go and watch this again, I think, another half dozen times.
Mm, I need to watch it a few more times. I've just done another fourth one while we're talking.
Yeah, I love it. I'm loving that trailer.
It looks fantastic, doesn't it? It got thumbs up from everybody.
A teaser, that's what I will say. We spoke about that before, but
yeah,
it's where's the, I mean, at this point, you would normally be having a full trailer, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and this isn't far off, is it? I mean, there isn't a lot in there in terms of narrative. It seems very much to be about the tone. And obviously an introduction to characters. This is more than a traditional teaser would be.
Yes.
But I think there was an embargo on any publicity for this until the end of last year because of Rogue Nation. They didn't want any crosstalk between the two feature films at the time. Yeah. So perhaps they would have done more for Rogue One if they hadn't been asked to hold back by Bad Robot because they were producing both projects.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is superb. I haven't got a bad thing to say about this trailer at all. I love all of it.
Yeah, nice. Like I say, it's grown on me over time. I didn't start off kind of enamoured with it, but over time I've definitely warmed to it more.
Yeah.
I love it.
But obviously I'm happy there's more Star Wars movies either way. So, you know.
Well, more Star Wars stories.
More Star Wars. More Star Wars media in general, because I do everything. You know, I play the video games, I play the board games, exactly. I do the lot. So
this is officially a Star Wars story, not a movie.
Yes, this is true.
Okay, right. I think that's us done. We've definitely run out of time to do anything on our show notes. So yeah. We're probably... Oh, I accidentally covered one point, which was...
Looking at it, I will say, actually, some of those are pretty timeless. So I think we can probably come back to those later on.
Yeah, we'll drop back in and we'll cover those
another time. Yeah, it's more important to get the trailer covered.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, should we wrap this up for the night then, chaps?
Because it's
been an hour and a half, right? So where can people find you before the next show, guys?
Well, I'm still on YouTube, Calistein, Calastein. I'm starting videos this week, so I'll be putting some interesting insect stuff.
I saw you had a time lapse of you doing your renovation.
Oh, I do. I've got a DIY section on that channel as well. Do some stuff in there, but I'm going to do some more time lapse stuff this year. That's kind of where I really like the time lapse stuff.
Yeah, it's really good. I like that. That inspired me as well.
I enjoyed that.
Rob, where can people find you this week?
The bulk of my time is spent either on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision, where I'm slowly trying to gain as many followers as I possibly can, as is I figured the point. Or failing that, I'm on Emotionally 14, which is my blog, which I run with a few friends. I do videos, podcasts, written stuff occasionally, all sorts of bits and bobs on there. So emotionally14.com, YouTube at emotionally14, Twitter, Facebook, the works, which is where you can find all the bits and bobs I do. But if you find me on Twitter at Rob Wade Vision, then you'll find my retweets of all the Emotionally 14 stuff I do as well. So that's probably your best bet to start off with.
Absolutely, and there's links to everything in the description to this show to make it easy for you. You find everything I do at Talk Star Wars on Twitter. If you want to go straight to the site, it's talkstarwars.co.uk. Just put a new page on the website, actually, a support page. If you feel like helping us keep the lights on at Talk Star Wars, there's ways for you to do that there. We may or may not have a After Dark Side up on Thursday. Watch this space. Let us know what you think about this trailer. We want some feedback. So if you want to start firing over MP3s, voice memos, send them. We'll cut them into the show. Get yourself on Talk Star Wars and join that conversation. Right, we're done, chaps.
Yes, we are.
Let's get
Thanks
out of
here. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you next week.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, on the subject of Twitter, actually, I've just seen a really good, really funny image. It's a picture of Rey holding out the lightsaber to Luke.
Mm.
And it just shoots over to Luke, which just said, "There was a hand, too. Did you bring the hand?"
Nice. That's great.
That's brilliant. You know, it's really funny, actually, is Mark Hamill. I saw a video of him in a little promo for their Force for Change charity thing.
Oh, I saw it too. Just
he's so funny. He's just doing for the first 20 seconds, he's just not talking. And then he goes, oh, sorry, I've got dialogue. Never mind.
I only saw the first 20 seconds.
You should have stuck with it. He's playing the part.
He suddenly goes, sorry. Yeah,
did you see his tweet today about this Rogue One trailer?
Yes.
He tweeted the link out and said, I don't think I have any lines in this either. Which is brilliant. Yeah.